Good morning. The Senate Education Committee meeting is called to order. Today is Monday, April 4th, 2022. The time is 9:05 a.m. We're meeting in State Capitol Room number 205. Senators in attendance are Senator Stevens, Senator Hughes, myself as chair, Senator Holland. I do believe I see Senator Begich on board. And Senator Begich, if you can hear me, please just acknowledge you're listening in.
I can hear you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, so Senator Begich is listening in, and I do believe Senator Michicki will be unable to join us today. Thank you to Mary Gwen, our recording secretary, and Jake, our moderator for today. As a reminder, please silence your cell phones if you have them on board. At this point, I will bring Senate Bill 196 back before the committee. Senate Bill 196 is related to transparency and compelled speech in public education. This is the second hearing on Senate Bill 96, and today we're going to hear public testimony. The sponsor for Senate Bill 196 is in the meeting room with us. Senator Reinbold, if you'd come to the presenter's table and give us a brief reminder of Senate Bill 196 and what it's about.
Good morning on this beautiful day in Juneau. My name is Senator Laura Reinbold, and I'm here to present Senate Bill 96. This is the second time. It's an act relating to transparency and compelled speech in public education.
Senator Reinbold, did you want to elaborate on that a little bit, or is there, could you elaborate on that just a little bit?
Yes. I thought I was just introducing myself initially, and I'm happy to go into basically what the bill does. Is the bill is an act relating to transparency, compelled speech, and education. So the transparency part is really easy to understand because basically what it does is it just requires the curriculum to be put online. And so if there is, for example, for COVID, there was so much homeschool and things like that. So a lot of the parents and people who were trying to help the kids get through education, it was really wonderful to have that online so they could just pull the education, the information on there. And in regards to basically, so the transparency, so a public school, including charter schools, shall display on a school's website regularly updated training material used for teachers, curriculum, school procedures, any type of, with the author and the materials, and organizations associated with the material, and a brief description of the material and identify the teacher that produced the material. So that's just at a high level, the transparency angle of the bill. And then the prohibition of the compelled speech. Basically what this does is it aligns a lot to sections Title 14 and Title 18 that's already in statutes. So Title 18 specifically relates to prohibition against discrimination based on sex or race in public education. And so it really aligns with what's currently in statute right now, and the bill goes into specifics in regards to exactly what is prohibited, so you can't force a student to go and do these specific things. So on, this is on page 6. So if it's I'm on page 4, line 3. So if it's fundamentally or redeemably racist or sexist, if an individual by virtue of sex, race, ethnicity, religion, or national color is consciously or unconsciously inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive, I can't compel speech in regards to if an individual by virtue of sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, national origins is blameworthy of actions committed in the past by other members of the same sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, national origin. And so you can teach about slavery and stuff like that, but you can't put blame on that, at the specific color of race. D, an individual's moral character is necessarily determined in whole or part by the individual's race, ethnicity, religion, color, etc. E would be a sex, race, ethnicity, religion, color, or national origins is inherently superior or inferior. So it goes over the strict guidelines narrow that you can't force a kid to have compelled speech in regards to that. So I think that basically at a high level explains the bill. It's just six pages total.
Thanks.
But I'm happy to go into any other detail if you'd like.
Thank you so much, Senator Reinbold. At this point, I'll probably chase you away from the presenter's table because I know we have at least one person here for a public testimony. But I will open up for public testimony. Senate Bill 196 is now open to public testimony, and I will look around the room and see if I see anyone who's interested in offering public testimony. And is there someone interested? All right, I believe you might be. I have you listed as Cindy Fuller. If you'd care to come up to the presenter's table. And if you'd please state your name and any affiliation you care to claim, and begin your about 3 minutes or so of public testimony.
Okay. I want to thank you for allowing me to come and give you my opinions and for the effort and energy that you put forth in trying to help our state and the citizens of our state. I know that it takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of your life. And I just want to let you know that I appreciate it. I'm an Alaskan. I've been here since I was 5. I have 4 children who were all born here. I have 10 grandchildren, one on the way, and all were born here but one. And she was born in Seattle through a medevac. So I have a little bit of stake in Alaska. My children are small business owners, and they have gone through Alaska public school system to a point. I homeschooled my last 2 through part of high school. Things are happening in our schools right now that aren't right. Our education system was established to teach reading, writing, arithmetic, science, history, arts. Teaching how to learn to work with others and become productive members of our society. Every child was given the same opportunity. And the system has expanded from its purpose to teach a wide spectrum of subjects. And in recent years, it's being spent on teaching less academics and more of the current fad in social morals. I was raised as an American. That was what was important, and that's where my values were based. My mother told me that I was Heinz 57. I was a little bit of everything, and nothing really stood out over anything else. That's no longer what's being taught in our schools. It's important as to what your nationality is, either what your grandparents were, your great-grandparents, where you came from. You no longer are taught to identify as an American. You're taught to identify as a different nationality or ethnicity. This is tearing our schools and our country apart. You can see it in what's happening. Now, this was started happening with my children. Now, with my grandchildren, what I'm seeing is it's not just race and ethnicity. It's also sexual gender. I have grandchildren in a couple of the different school systems in Southeast Alaska. One school system has 15 girls in the class. Now we're talking about 13, 14 years old. Out of these 15 girls, 7 of them are transitioning. 7. Almost 50%. This is coming from the school. Parents aren't being told that their children are transitioning. Parents aren't being told that their sons or daughters are being called by names of a different gender. This isn't right. And to me, that's what this bill represents. I have another relative who's 14. For over a year, she's been indoctrinated into this philosophy of you can be whatever you want to be. Now, I have a couple of grandchildren that thought they were dogs when they were 3 and 4. But, you know, they grew out of that. And if you're a tomboy and want to play hard and climb trees and go fishing, that is also something that you should be allowed to grow into or out of. It shouldn't be something that is taught and you're rewarded in school if you decide that you are a different sex. And that's what's happening. These children are being taken into special classes. They're giving special privileges. They're getting extra attention. And the rest of the children see this. And everybody wants to follow along. Now, the 14-year-old is very confused in life and doesn't really know what she is or what she wants to be. She's tried to commit suicide twice. The second time, with a friend. And the reason it wasn't successful is because she called because she didn't want her friend to die. Parents were unaware of this. It had been going on for over a year. This bill, to me, is about not allowing that to happen. Parents have to be given the knowledge of what's being taught in the school and what's happening to their children. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Fuller. I will look around the room and see if anyone else wants to offer a public testimony, seeing no one else in the room. I will look online, and I have first up would be Barbara Tindall, and next after that's going to be Mike Coons. But Barbara Tindall, if you'd please, when you're calling in, the request is that you state your name, any affiliation you care to claim, and also your location, and then begin your 4 minutes or so of public testimony.
Okay, thank you. My name is Barbara Tindall. I'm representing myself, and I reside in North Pole, Alaska. I've been in Alaska since I was 10, and I was in Juneau for the statehood parade, so it's been a while. I want to thank the senators for allowing testimony today on SB 196. I also want to say that I have 5 children, 14 grandchildren, and I taught at North Pole Christian School for 20 years. So I'm very, very interested in education and how it impacts our kids. I'm speaking today in favor of SB 196, and that's a bill that requires schools to put their curricula on their website so parents and taxpayers and grandparents can know what is being taught to their children. This is a reasonable request and one that protects our children and our families from objectionable and harmful ideologies. What is often being taught today is the critical race theory, which, among other things, teaches students to believe that America is basically racist or sexist. It also teaches that we are inherently racist because of the color of our skin, and it tells even our very young children that they are either a victim or an oppressor, also determined by skin color. These are just some of the aspects of critical race theory that is so onerous and so really demeaning to our children. And SB 196 protects our children from hating each other based on race, ethnicity, or religion, and it promotes a healthy respect for all races and removes the stigmas that CRT imposes. So I'm speaking very, very strongly in favor of this bill, which would protect us. And I just want to say that, you know, again, as a former speaker, I agree with everything she had to say, that education was established to teach our children to read, write, and do math and learn our history and learn our true history. And we're at the point now where Alaska schools are so, our rates of reading and accomplishment are so low, some of the lowest in the nation, and they are asking for more money to teach kids how to read. I've been a teacher for over 20 years. I've also homeschooled my kids at times, and it is not difficult to teach a child to read. It just isn't. But you do have to have the time and the opportunity. And I know teachers in the public schools who have just been overwhelmed with paperwork and this program and that program. And I just think we need to cut back and get back to basics. That's what we want our children to learn. We want them to be literate and able to function in our society. So I'm just speaking again highly in favor of SB 196 that would give transparency to our education system, tell us what's going on, and really protect our children. And I thank you for this opportunity.
All right. Thank you, Barbara Tindall. Next up is going to be Mike Coons. After Mike Coons will be Kendall Cruz. But right now we have Mike Coons. And if you care to state your name, any affiliation, and your location, and begin your 4 minutes of testimony.
Yeah, this is Mike Coons. I am speaking for myself. I live in Palmer. I've been here, I was stationed here 75 to 81 and then came back to my great state in 94. I want to comment on the lady from Juneau. She did a phenomenal job, and there's not a thing that I could disagree with. However, there is one aspect that is being, there's one word that is being used that we have to get away from, and that's this whole idea of transgender. There is no transitioning to a man from a woman. There is no transitioning from a woman to a man. There, you can get surgical, you can get hormonal, but you still cannot produce a baby. You can still not lactate. You can still not do anything that other one does. You can get all the surgical aspects you want, and you can maybe look like what you want to look like. But that's it. There, you still have the XY chromosome. You still have the XX chromosome. You are not transitioned. It's period, end of conversation. Thus, I refuse to call them transgender. I call them what they are, cross-dressers. On that aspect, we have, and I love this bill. I've read through this bill, that this bill is trying to put in statute the means that teachers and school administrators, school districts, school boards cannot force their views and onto the children that are in those schools. They cannot, you know, I know the far left, extremist, socialist, Marxist, communist side keep on talking about, well, they're not really teaching critical race theory. Well, yes, they are. They don't, you know, but they turn around and say, well, that's a college class. That's a college legal class. Okay, fine. So let's take it to the next level. They're teaching portions. They're teaching they're teaching aspects straight from that. They just don't call it CRT. What they are calling it is, oh, we have to educate our children that they're white, or they're black, or they're male, or they're female, or we don't know what they are, or, you know, we have to be able to teach them all these different things in total opposition to what any parent would ever say. Now, if a parent wants to say, and then I saw a Facebook page the other day where, you know, this is all about love, okay, fine, that's that parent's ability to talk to that child the way he or she wants to. No, I have no problem with that. Disagree with them, but that's their parental right. But the parent, but worse, I'm a drink, dual retired income, no kids. I am not about to go stand up for any teacher to be able to turn around and tell these kids that they're oppressors because they're white. I saw a picture the other day of children of the colonists were here in the valley in Palmer. All of them were white. All of them were they weren't in the finest clothing. They looked poor. You just look at them from the 1930s, and you knew these people were poor. They were hardworking. But they didn't have any white privilege. And that's another thing that they're trying to teach these kids, that, oh, if you're not white, if you're white, you have white privilege. Well, that's not the case either, because there's no such thing as white privilege. Oh, yeah, have I seen privilege? Oh, yeah. When I went to high school, when I was grade school, and I had kids that I went to school with, and their mommies and daddies were doctors and lawyers and a whole lot of money and everything else, were they privileged to be able to have all the things that they had? Yeah. They got born into a household that had the ability to give them a lot of privileges that my dad couldn't put, because my dad was a working stiff and middle income. But I got the privileges I got were from my mom and dad, from my society. It had nothing to do with my race. I grew up in the 60s. I grew up in the 50s and the 60s and the 70s. I saw racism. I saw real racism. And I saw real racism at the blacks, at the whites, at everybody else. It was all over the place. I saw the Watts riots. I saw all the riots that were going on back then. I saw real, and then when I went to the Air Force and the basic training, I saw real racism there too. But there is the idea that the progressive, far left, socialist, communist, Marxist are pushing this kind of stuff is just shows to everybody that they are the racist, they are the sexist, they are the misogynist, they are everything that they're pointing their one finger back at us. They got three fingers pointing back at them. So I fully endorse SB 156. Senator Reinbold and Senator Costello, praises upon you, just heaping on top of you. And I thank you so much for bringing this forward. I don't know what the House is going to do. I saw that what's going on in the House with the vax, and I'm probably going to get hit with the same thing with the same person. But at least you went ahead. You've gone ahead and done this. This needs to be passed out. SB 111 needs to be passed out. SB 140 needs to be passed out.
Mr. Coons, if you could wrap it up, we're at 6.5 minutes.
Thank you.
I'm giving the callers a lot of latitude today because I believe we're going to have time to cover all the callers in today's meeting. But we want to try to keep it on Senate Bill 196. All right. So next up is Kendall Cruz, and beyond that would be Kelly Nash at this time. I'll ask Kendall Cruz if they would please state their name, any affiliation, and their location, and begin their approximately 4 minutes of testimony.
Hello. Thank you, Chairman Holland and committee members. My name is Kendall Cruz. I live in Palmer. I'm speaking for myself. I'm a mother of three, soon to be four, children, and I have chosen to homeschool them. I'm speaking in support of 196. And the importance of it, when I my children were entering school age, I contacted my local public school to get a hold of the curriculum, which I naively thought would be very easy to do. And because I, as a taxpayer, pay a fortune in taxes that paid for that curriculum, that I should be able to access it. Not only was I stonewalled at the local school level and spoken to extremely harshly for even asking what kindergartners were taught, but I also was stonewalled at the district level, which at the time was Anchorage School District. And that made me concerned that I wasn't even able to look at and research and see what my children would be taught so I could even be consistent at home. I'm a healthcare provider, so education was not my young childhood education was not my initial training. And I wanted to be able to help my children. After that, I decided to call local Christian private schools across Alaska, as well as homeschool curriculums, to see what was standard or common. And what I found was that every school that was private that I called gave me a complete and total set within 3 days of the curriculum for kindergarten and first grade for me to take home and look through at my leisure and return when I was ready. When I asked the homeschool that I had to have shipped to Alaska, I only had to pay shipping to get a complete set of everything to look through myself and then ship it back at my leisure. It is outrageous that private companies who've never received a dollar from me would give me access to all of that so that I may make an informed decision for my children with the potential of maybe putting them in those schools. But the public school, which has taken my money by force, doesn't allow me to look at anything. And now I have friends in the Anchor School District who have always sat in and helped volunteer and course in their classes of their children, and they haven't been able to do that under the excuse of COVID, though we all know that is over. They're not allowing people to sit in, and when they watched what was happening through the webcast during the pandemic, they were horrified at what was being taught to very small children. SB 196 is so important. Every tax dollar should be available to, for taxpayers to see what it is spent on and decide for itself, for themselves whether that's a good use of money or not, so they can make informed decisions. And it, the public school system is no different. If it were not controversial or they weren't trying to hide something, there is no reason why all of the curriculum should not be posted online in the internet age for parents to see. At a minimum, it would help them to teach their children at home and be consistent with the message if it were a good message. And at worst, it's going to unveil some of the disgusting and wasteful ways that taxpayer money is being spent and the ways that children are being groomed sexually at extremely young and inappropriate ages or socially taught to be political activists. So I think this legislation is extremely important. It's well written. The only concern I have in reading through it is Article 2, Section 14, 18, 150, D, as in dog. I am personally aware, after going to the conference in February, where Planned Parenthood in partnership with another woman have created a safe adult sex ed course that any safe adult can take a minor to, doesn't have to be a guardian, and have lengthy discussions about fantasies and other things I will not repeat. That's copyrighted, so you cannot make copies. Things like that will create a loophole so that they can be hidden in that way. And I'll tell you, almost all of the sex education is copyrighted. You cannot make copies in the traditional way. And I'm not sure how the schools have gotten around the laws that govern GSAs, but they have. And it is an easy loophole to tell these people who create these curriculum that as long as they copyright it so it cannot be copied, it will not be posted on these transparency lists. And parents won't be able to access it. So an amendment in that area is really important to make sure that parents are not burdened by cost or time to get access to any materials that are not allowed to be copied or posted on these lists. Transparency list. So they have the ability to thoroughly review the curriculum in total prior to it being introduced. Other than that, I think this is extremely well written. I think that everything that ever is taught to a child in public school should be posted for parents to see for all the reasons, you know, good reasons to be consistent at home with messages that are positive and concerns for parents who wish to disagree and opt out. I really appreciate Senator Costello and Reingold for introducing this, and I fully support it. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Kendall Cruz. Next up will be Kelly Nash, and after Kelly Nash will be Pamela Samash. So, Kelly Nash, if you please state your name, any affiliation, your location, and begin your approximately 4 minutes of testimony.
My name is Kelly Nash. I am calling in support of SB 196. Lifelong Alaskan. I have two children, and I just became a grandmother. My oldest daughter was able to go through school without any issues because she's pretty headstrong, just as I am. My youngest, who is now in eighth grade, who has, you know, a lot of the same issues that a lot of other kids had during, you know, this whole COVID thing. And, you know, every person that has spoken before me is exactly spot on about absolutely everything. You know, we have teachers asking kids what their pronouns are. if they don't understand what a pronoun is, that teacher is taking it upon themselves to, you know, explain that to them. Teachers are informing their students whether they are gay, lesbian, trans. They're talking about their children that may be, you know, gay or lesbian. There's a teacher at West Valley, actually, that has been teaching CRT for many years now, and it's not in the curriculum. So, you know, we haven't been able to find it, but we know that it's happening. It's almost like, you know, what they're doing is they're taking these kids that aren't as emotionally strong as other kids, and they are putting them on a hill and putting that spotlight on them and, you know, trying to transform them. So we have a bunch of kids walking around that are completely confused, and when they're put in that spotlight, then they are ridiculed, and because other kids don't understand it. And then we have higher suicide rates. You know, I went into my daughter's school a month ago, and there was these little notes up on the board about what these kids wanted to do when they grow up. Now, mind you, this is junior high. And the handwriting, I could barely even read it. I was so surprised. There was many notes up there that just said, I hate my life. I want to be out of here, you know, and it's, you know, I was surprised I could even read it. And that's sad in itself. You know, there's a diversity, equity, and inclusion committee board at our school district here, which I applied for, and I ended up having to sit down because I didn't meet their expectations. I wasn't who they wanted on that board because I guess because I'm a white single woman with kids, I have no idea. So this bill needs to be passed through along with what Mike Coombs said. Many other bills need to get passed through that really affect our children for the better. The other thing, there used to be a dress code in school. There's no dress code in school anymore. You have boys walking around in miniskirts and platform heels. You know, PDA is all over the school. When my 13-year-old daughter knows, you know, that I hadn't even heard of, you know, gay, lesbian, or trans when I was in school, and they already know everything about it. And I mean, I'm sure a lot of that has to do with social media, but, you know, the teachers aren't stopping it from being spoken about in school. And the last thing that I have to say is Thompson, the home invasion incentive act that you put your name on, you're wrong. You shouldn't be doing that. Thank you. Have a good day.
All right. That was Kelly Nash. Next up will be Pamela Samash, and after that is going to be Phil Moser. So, Pamela Samash, if you state your name, any affiliation, and your location, and begin your about 4 minutes of testimony.
Thank you, sir. Good morning. My name is Pamela Samash, and I live in Nenana, Alaska. I would like to encourage you to vote yes on SB 196. It's always good to support any steps that promote parental involvement in education, and the more transparency, the more involvement. According to the Public School Review, and I quote, parental involvement plays a critical role in student success. There has been extensive research on this issue. Susan Dauber of 1993, Joyce Epstein of Elementary School Journal, Journal of Educational Psychology, etc. As a parent who's volunteered in the public school system and Head Start, I can tell the difference with kids whose parents are interested and engaged in their education as opposed to kids whose parents don't show any interest. It's very obvious in their attitude towards school and their peers and their drive to want to learn. So I believe transparency is a huge step to parental involvement and a successful education. That's why I'm asking for your support of SB 196. Also, as far as discrimination, all are made in the image of God. The Lord loves everyone more than any of us can imagine. Supporting and encouraging God's love and truth will end racism. If we looked at each other through his eyes, that would abolish all hate. He is all we need to solve this problem. It's not the school's job. It's our job as individuals to teach his love. I grew up in a school learning evolution, and we learned how we went from apes to black people to whites. So it's my opinion that the teaching of evolution is where your racism problem is coming from. The schools have created their own racist monster through evolution. Thank you very much for your time, and please support SB 196, and I support the other people who have also testified. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Pamela Samish. Next up is Phil Moser. Phil Moser, if you'd please state your name, any affiliation, and begin your about 4 minutes of testimony.
Okay. My name is Philip Moser. I'm representing myself. I live in Juneau, Alaska. I'm calling in opposition to this bill. I think it's pretty clear through the language of the bill that it's not serving the purpose that it purports to, of transparency. And it's bringing in a lot of language that is counterintuitive to what schools are supposed to be about. I think part of that is especially illustrated by the first section, which implements language intended to penalize schools and invite litigation against schools. But there's not a lot of other areas of language like that that can penalize teachers or school districts for what they are teaching. In addition, the title of the bill and the language of the bill up until the point where it talks about what many testifiers have called critical race theory is hidden, and that's not correct. I think the language of this bill is lazy and copy and pasted. A lot of the effort and a lot of the language here is exactly copied from a think tank person called Christopher F. Lupo, and he plainly laid out that this isn't about transparency. He said in a tweet, the strategy here is to use a non-threatening liberal value, quote, transparency, unquote, to force ideological actors to undergo public scrutiny. It's a rhetorically advantageous position and, when enacted, will give parents a powerful check on bureaucratic power. The left will expect that after passing so-called, quote, CRT bans, unquote, last year, we will overplay our hand. By moving to curriculum transparency, we will deflate that argument and bait the left into opposing, quote, transparency, unquote, which will raise the question, what are they trying to hide? I think this plainly states, and this person posted online language that's almost exactly the same language of this bill, that this isn't about transparency. It's about giving political actors the ability to intimidate and threaten teachers. I think that's also pretty clearly included by the fact that if a teacher comes up with this, with any learning materials that could fall under this category, they have to be stated by name. This invites intimidation, invites threats, which we have seen an increasing amount of this year. It invites violence. A lot of this language purports to say that it goes against, or that it's going to ban language that includes a lot of categories that sound rhetorically okay, like teaching kids or not holding kids to the standard that they can't be judged as having inherent characteristics based on their race. But the language of this bill will invite and it invites enough ambiguity that it will lead to litigation, and it will lead to threats against teachers and intimidation against teachers based on any learning that includes any mention of race or sex. What this means is that teaching that, say, the founding fathers in large part were slaveholders would not be able to be taught. It would lead to teaching the work of Martin Luther King would not be able to be taught under this bill. And I know Reinbold has said that that's not what will happen, but the ambiguity of this bill leads to any mention of race or sex being an incitation. And that's also pretty transparent because that's the only kind of language that is targeted by this bill in teaching curriculum. Also, it teaches that kids have no ability to learn any civic engagement in school. And I think that's really wrong. I think in a political ideology that teaches that adults have no responsibility for other people, for their actions, or for their ideas, that children need to be controlled, they need to be doubled down on before they reach that adult stage. And it's really, I think, telling and really aggravating that there's a lot of testimony about the need for kids as undeveloped, not adults, to have this level of control when another subset of legislators were recently testifying that kids as young as 14 have the ability to, or have the ability and the mental advocacy to get married. In ending this, I don't support this bill. I think it's pretty transparently not what it claims to be, and I invite it to be shot down in committee, please. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Phil Moser. At this point, I see no one else online waiting to testify. And having exhausted the online, having seen no one else in the room, at this point, I'll close public testimony. Public testimony is now closed on Senate Bill 196. I'll ask the committee members. We do have the sponsor present. Do you have any more questions for the sponsor?
I do actually in the final section. I know this has a judiciary referral, but I just want to understand the process with the Attorney General. I'm kind of concerned if an Attorney General would issue perhaps maybe not an incorrect opinion. It sounds like that the due process, a person wouldn't be able to take any action. So I'm just wondering about that section and how that works.
Senator Reinbold, do you care to come back to the presenter's table?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm Senator Reinbold, District G, and I also have a few comments in regards to some of the testimony, if you indulge me. But basically, in regards to the enforcement section, it just says the Attorney General may commence a civil action in the Superior Court to enjoin a state agency or school district body, charter, or public school for violating a section. And so I'm trying to figure out exactly where your concern is. Do you have a line and page number?
Yes, Mr. Chair.
Please proceed.
So on page 6, when it says the Attorney General may not commence a civil action under an advisory opinion already issued. So we can have changes in Attorney Generals, and sometimes they don't agree. So you could have one Attorney General who issues an opinion that another one doesn't agree with, and I'm afraid this would keep that Attorney General from they'd be stuck with the first advisory opinion unless I'm reading it incorrectly, and couldn't proceed with any civil action if it wasn't in alignment with the previous advisory opinion of the previous AG.
Okay, so Mr. Chairman, one, I'm open to amendments, obviously, but if you go up to page 5, line 28, it says within 60 days after receiving a written request under this section, the Attorney General shall issue an advisory opinion. The Attorney General may reconsider, revoke, or modify an advisory opinion at any time, including upon showing that material facts were omitted or misstated for the opinion. A person may rely on the Attorney General, and the Attorney General may not commence a civil action under the section if it's inconsistency with an advisory under this section. So to me, there's some wiggle room there. So, you know, if you want to clarify it or make an amendment in it, but to me, I thought there was plenty of opportunity there to revise or revoke or reconsider.
And as follow up, and we can look at this, I'm sure,
follow-up.
Mr. Chair, as in judiciary probably, but so it sounds like the sponsor's intent is that one AG who might not agree with another AG's advisory opinion could modify it. It sounds like I was not quite reading it that way, so we might want to clarify that. But thank you. I just wanted to understand that because and the fact that the person still has the ability to challenge it because it says may rely on, but does not say shall rely on. So that's good. So, yeah, thank you for that clarification, and we can look at that later.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hughes. Senator Reinbold out. Senator Stevens?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I think, Senator Reinbold, you know how important I find civics education, that I think that's one of the main reasons we even have an education system is we wanted to create citizens and teach them that what it means to be a citizen and the importance of voting. And as I read through this, I see some things that make me question, would civics education be not allowed? Some of the things that are said here, like in line 20, page 4, activism or advocacy, like advocating people become citizens. There's a couple of other comments that throughout it that I'd just like to get your position on this and make sure I understand it.
Through the chair?
Please proceed.
Through the chair, absolutely, civics can be taught, 100%, no question, and encouragement of activities and civil issues. However, it just puts some bookends on it. And if with the indulgence of the chair, I just want to make sure that what I reiterate, and I talked about this briefly when I introduced the bill, but the bottom line is the Anchorage School District rejects all forms of racism. And that's basically what this is targeted at. The second policy, make sure that the annual report measuring student outcomes and equity and resources are allocated in regards to the school. So basically, critical race theory is a reverse racism. It is already, and this is quoting, I apologize, it's called Anchorage School Board passes anti-racism equity policy with overwhelming support. And so basically, this is an article, and I'm reading critical race theory is a form of reverse racism that is in the Anchorage School District with a vengeance. Dave Donnelly. This is from Dave Donnelly. The new proposed equity and anti-racism policies were voted on April 20th and may officially empower the district's use of discriminatory pedagogy. And the bottom line here is when he tried to do an amendment that prohibited critical race theory, it got voted down 5-1. That's when he knew that there was a serious red flag in regards to what critical race theory was. So the basically what critical race theory is a radical pop culture movement based on the Marxist theory of society of race. Critical race theory is found in books such as White Fragility, How to Be an Anti-Racism, includes white supremacy exists and maintains power through culture and law. Critical race theory is anti-traditional family, anti-capitalism, anti-individualism, anti-merit-based systems, and teaches that all white people are racist. And then I went in when I presented the bill, a whole bunch of quotes that were in different books that were being taught in the school district. And then there's also a list that I wanted to point out in regards to, now this is critical race theory, Anchorage School District drops a new policy. Again, this is in regards to that. It's basically smoke and mirrors because they're saying they're not teaching critical race theory, but they're teaching the tenets of critical race theory. And I can go and list books like, it says the books in the Anchorage School District for Equity Reading List support most, if not all, the components in the critical race theory, and many of the writers are considered standard bearers for the new critical race theory ideology. For example, Anti-Race Baby by Dr. Ibram, How to Be an Anti-Racist by Dr. Ibram, Stamped from the Beginning by Dr. Ibram, The New Jim Crow by Michelle Alexander, An Indigenous History of the United States by Roxanne Dunbar, white fragility, and I read several quotes from white fragility when I presented the bill. So you want to talk about race. An autobiography of Martin Luther King edited by Claiborne Carson, The Building of the Great Society. I could go on and on and on, but the problem is it is in disguise being taught. And that's why we want transparency so parents can look at the data and understand it. And even when they're doing a lot of homeschooling now and they ever get shut down for another issue such as COVID, I think it's the transparency part, but it's also important to get some sidebars. And what this bill does, it aligns with the Constitution and it aligns with a lot of what's already in state statute in Title 14 and Title 18. And that's exactly, and I went over some of that exactly where it aligns in the current titles right now. The bottom line is we're trying to prevent extremism. And that based on a specific race, they're all either oppressors or victims. And so it's very narrow bookends, and that's what's on the page that I read when I first got up here to show just the extreme area. So with that, I hope that answers the question. I know it was a long-winded answer, but I thought it was really important to get on record. So thank you.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold.
Sort of follow up, if you don't mind.
Follow up, Senator Stevens.
So I think we agree. The importance of civics education. But there are comments in here that I don't really know the definition of. There's a definition of political activism, or advocacy. If I were a high school teacher and wanted to get my students to get to the point where they would vote in an election, am I being an activist? Am I being advocating? I mean, are you really sure that this in no way impacts civics education? And I think we agree. I just want to make sure that it's on the record that civics education is important, and this does not exclude that at all.
Mr. Chairman?
Please.
Civics is critical. It's not only important, it's critical. I mean, I'm a passionate believer in civics education, so in no way does this stop civics education. It does is on page 4 primarily, it just puts some bookends in regards to basically they don't affirm, adopt, or adhere to a belief, so they're compelled to believe that the United States or the state is fundamentally or irredeemably racist or sexist. So it's a very, 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 very specific area that is very un-American, to be honest with you. We don't want that divisiveness taught. And then an individual, by virtue of sex, race, ethnicity, religion, or national origins, is consciously or unconsciously inherently racist, sexist, or oppressive. So it's just those extremes. We're just putting sidebars on it that really do align with Title 18. And I'm not going to read all of them, but I think you got, you know, the gist. And that's why we outlined it so carefully on that page. So we absolutely want students engaged. And so with that, I hope that answers the question.
Thanks. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Senator Stevens. Senator Hughes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this is tag teaming here a bit with Senator Stevens, because I understand the bookends on page 4. It's at the bottom of page 3, where it's not just regarding that topic. So if there were students in a high school who were very uncomfortable in facing a teacher, for instance, that's maybe pushing critical race theory, they might want to, and the teacher offers them in their civics class an opportunity to take a position on the bill, to look on basis, and they picked this bill and said, I want to write in support of this bill because I don't like that I'm being forced in this way on a subject I don't agree with. I think at the bottom of page 3, that number 1 would prohibit that student from writing and encouraging this committee to move the bill out of committee, for instance. That'd be a specific action. So I think we do need clarification there to ensure that students can weigh in on matters. They just can't be forced to weigh in the way a teacher or a school district official wants them to weigh. They need to be able to make up their own mind on a bill. And I think we just need some clarification there. And I'm glad you got the question on the record, Senator Stevens, because civics education is so incredibly important, and I think probably one of the most powerful testimonies I've heard in since my time in service here was our Commissioner of Education, who spoke about the importance of civic education. So I'm glad we got on that on the record, but I do think we might need some language there, number one, to make sure that students can engage and study the issues and weigh in on matters as they make up their own minds. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Senator Hughes. And I would just go to Senator, Senator Reinbold, did you have a response?
I do. So that's exactly section 1418.160. It goes over that, and then the bookends are put right there, and that's why it's very specific. When you look up on section one and then section two, those are the bookends. So I do think it's very, very clearly outlined, and it also talks about on page five what is, you know, allowed, what is not prohibited as well. So I definitely believe that is clarified already very clearly in the bill, and I actually, to me, it's clear as day, but it the bookends are there, and it absolutely does not hinder civics education. It just doesn't want the divisive concepts that are very destructive to race. They're discriminatory. Those are the kind of things that are eliminated. But with that, that's exactly why we were so specific with what could not be, but the vast majority of stuff can be taught.
All right. Thanks, Senator Reinbold. So we've had a chance for the other two committee members. I just wanted to go to Senator Begich, because sometimes as being phoned in, we tend to forget they're out there. I just wanted to see if Senator Begich had anything to offer.
I do, and I appreciate you coming to me, Mr. Chairman. I hope you can hear me okay.
Just fine.
First, I just have to comment on some of the things that have been said, and I really am almost wordless, in which is hard for you to believe, I know, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, but let me find my words, because first, statements that were made on the record, since that's part of what's being done here, have to be corrected, because there are falsehoods being said on the record. The first of those is that somehow we're teaching critical race theory because we discuss whether or not we should have experienced opportunities for our educators to be able to literally teach whatever those things that they wish to teach in the classroom. One of the things that was brought up in a fairly lengthy description by the sponsor were a number of different books that could or couldn't be taught or that wouldn't be taught. And so it brings the question of whether we could even teach or discuss in a classroom the teachings or speeches of Martin Luther King, which do in fact talk about American racism, which do in fact talk about the nature of that racism. It brings up the question of whether we could critically assess anything that we might, whether it's the new or the old Jim Crow, whether it's civil rights laws, all of these things under this bill's vague language become questionable. Further, the bill sponsor says this is to prevent extremism. This bill actually does the opposite, in particular in its civics section, or the second compelling speech section, where what it in fact does is it allows one ideology to triumph over others by giving the veto to one person, potentially with lawsuits to be engaged in determining subjectively what can and cannot be taught in the classroom. One of the testifiers in particular spoke that the theory of evolution in her mind, and we heard this just moments ago, was directly connected to racism. Are we then placing the choices of what we do and can teach in the hands of one single parent or not? I'm not sure, Mr. Chairman. I'm not sure what the true goal of this bill is, though I suspect it's something well beyond our education system. And one last thought here is that, yes, Anchorage's school board, on a vote of 5-1, rejected the false statements of former senator and former House member and member of the school board, Dave Donnelly, when he claimed that critical race theory is being taught in the classroom, because it is not being taught in the classroom. Those school board members were elected citywide. All six of them, of those six, were elected citywide. The citizens of the city of Anchorage chose them. The citizens can reject them. But instead, we would take it upon ourselves to remove from local government their ability to determine how best to educate their children. I think that this bill is wrong. I think this bill is misguided. And I'm deeply disappointed that we're having this discussion on this bill when we should be talking about whether or not we're going to help our kids learn to read, whether or not we're going to solve our fiscal gap. So yes, those are my comments, and I surely would welcome a response from Senator Reinbold.
Senator Reinbold.
Okay. So first of all, I'm going to step back. When I was fighting Common Core, I went into the Anchor School District and asked if I could please just look at the books that were being taught, take some photos, take a video. They said absolutely not. I was not allowed to take photos. I was not allowed to take pictures. I was not allowed to take a video. Matter of fact, I couldn't even have it in there. I could only take a piece of pencil and a paper when I went in to look at what was being taught. And I thought that was unbelievable as a vice chairman of education that I couldn't document what I saw. So I think we now have to rely on people that are on the school board. And critical race theory, like I said, is a form of reverse racism. And basically it says that it's a radical pop culture movement based on the Marxist theory that theory of the society and race. Critical race is found in books such as White Fragility and How to Be an Anti-Racist. It typically includes white supremacy exists and maintains power through culture and law. Critical race theory is anti-traditional family, anti-capitalism, anti-individual, anti-merit system. Here's a quote from White Fragility. And that was one of the books that I listed on page 22. When I saw only whites can be racist, I mean that in the United States, only whites have collective social and institutional power and privilege over color. On page 163, to love capitalism is to end loving racism. To love racism is to end loving capitalism. The conjured twins are sides of the same destructive body. And I could go on and on and on about stuff that is just really literally poisoning the minds of our youth. We want them to love America. We want them to not discriminate based on color. And this only puts bookends on the extremes. It absolutely does not prohibit in any fashion or manner an excellent civics education and teaching about America and even the history of the wars and the war on slavery, etc. It does not prohibit that in any way. It just can't fundamentally say a race is, it's very specifically outlined in the bill that one is automatically, I'll read it to make sure that I don't say it inaccurately. It just says that it can't be fundamentally or irredeemably racist or sexist or unconsciously inherent racist or sexist an individual based on their race. So it like I said, it's or their moral character it talks about. A race cannot be inherently superior or inferiority, kind of like what they taught back in World War II. So it's such specific guidelines here to, you know, bookends, I should say. And so I don't want people to say what the bill does that it doesn't do. And so the bill is very clear in what it does and does not do. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Right. Thank you, Senator Reinbold. Follow-up, Senator Begich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, this bill is designed to divide us, not unite us. And with that, I will go back on mute.
Thank you, Senator Begich. I'll state that I'll be working with the sponsor on some minor amendments, just confirmed, like on page 1, line 13, that Board of Regents. We're not sure if that's the accurate term that should go there. And I do appreciate Senator Stevens' concern about the bottom of page 3. I do remember 40-something years ago doing postcards in high school to our state legislators and things like that, and want to make sure that those kind of activities to encourage public outreach or involvement in politics, involvement in public issues are not being squelched by the document here. But and that being said, also, I think transparency is great. Do we know, was White Fragility ever a documented part of ASD or some school district?
It is listed on a book of approved list to be used, is my understanding, at the Anchorage School District.
And so that's I think that's what the goal of this is, if beyond transparency, to also protect from potential extremes on either side. I am not familiar with White Fragility, and I've never read it. I've heard a lot of what it's about, but even if it's going to be there, it should be everything should be transparent. There's a lot of anecdotal information about parents who, during the pandemic, found themselves really amazed at some of the things their children were being taught, to the point of teachers were asking the children to take their online educations behind closed doors. And it's a lot of anecdotal information. That's all I have on that. Senator Reinbold.
Thank you very much. And I, when I introduced the bill, I told you this, I had a very forgetful son. And I had to go back to school all the time. And so this also helps with transparency for forgetful kids, you know, to have that data, you know, on up the transparency thing, I think is absolutely incredibly important. And also, I think your thoughts are very important in regards to, I used to substitute teach for many years, and I thought it was absolutely critical. I engaged the kids like you wouldn't believe in civics activities, and I think it's absolutely critical. So if there is any clarity that needs to be done, I am 100% in support of that. So thank you.
Senator Hughes.
I'm just reminded, I remember hearing and reading about a very powerful testimony by a black woman to the Anchorage School District, very opposed to what was happening as far as critical race theory. And I think at the time when these books were posted for teachers, they were only on the one side of the issue, and that was part of the problem. They didn't have anything to counter. But the black woman who had children, she was so concerned, and she felt it was taking us backwards and dividing us in a way that was not good. And hearing it from her, I think, was probably the most convincing thing to me. And since then, I have been listening and really attuned to Americans across the nation, particularly black Americans, who do not want this in the school. They think this is actually going the wrong direction. So I think, however, we can do this in a way that accomplishes the goal. We certainly want Martin Luther King's significance to our nation to be able to be taught. So anyway, I appreciate the sponsor bringing it forward, but I just was reminded of that particular testimony, and I feel like her view was something really should be considered, and that we here on this committee should also. I would love to, I don't know the woman's name, would love to hear from her. I know her public testimony is closed. I don't know if you know who we're talking about. She should do a written statement, but I think it was something from her perspective that's important for us to consider. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Senator Hughes. Senator Stevens.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate your comment that you were interested in looking at the university's connection with this and what we are asking of the university. What we ask of public education is different from what we ask of the University of Alaska. And it does concern me that line 13 on page 1 says that rules will be adopted by the Board of Regents, by the university. I don't know exactly what that means. And then in the end, it mentions that public school does not include the university. I think there needs to be, I need to understand better what we're doing there. And I appreciate you looking into this further, Mr. Chairman. It's just that they are two different educational systems and need to be approached differently.
Can I comment?
All right. That being said, it looks like the questions are a brief of these. Senate Education's back on the record. I just want to make sure that we had that clarification. Senator Reinbold.
Yeah, this does not include the university. I think the reason the language was put in there because the university in the past with Common Core Standards, they were asked to weigh in regards to this. And also, I think because some of the students were able to take double courses, both at the high school level and the university level, is why the language was put in there. But this is focused towards K-12 education.
And if I could have Ed King take the presenter's table and provide also a little further clarification on that.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Ed King, for the record, Staff Senator Holland. And Mr. Chairman, I did speak with our legal team about this issue. And the Board of Regents is referenced in the existing law under anti-discrimination. And this section of law, this new section of law, is within the same chapter, but not within the same range. And so the new information that's being added is specifically being excluded from the previous existing law. So the reference to the Board of Education, Board of Regents, rather, is to address the language that's in the existing law and to limit that regulatory requirement to existing law and not to implicate the new language that's being added. So the statements that were made that the university is not implicated by the new law is correct in our in the minds of our legal team. Mr. Chairman, I also put on the record something last time that this bill came up that questioned whether or not the boards of education or the school district boards had authority to write regulations around this new law. I also got clarification on that. There is existing law that provides broad authority throughout the chapter to adopt regulations, and so that is not an issue.
All right. Senator Reinbold, did you have any closing comments?
This bill is meant to unite. It's meant to be the United States of America on the foundations and the principles in our Constitution and what is already existing in state statute in Title 14 and 18. It just puts some extremism has been coming infiltrated into the schools, and it's just to put some bookends on that. And with that, thank you. I really appreciate, Mr. Chairman, you and the honorable members of the committee for hearing this important issue.
Thank you, Senator Reinbold. We'll be working with you for some amendments to this bill. If members do have amendments to the bill, please submit them to my office by April 12th. We will now set Senate Bill 196 aside. Is there any other business before the committee? And seeing no other business before the committee today, our next meeting is Wednesday, April 6th at 9 a.m., and we're adjourned at 10:17 a.m.